Hey, open enrollment ends in just a few days. Have you decided on a new health insurance plan yet? Hi, I'm Rob West. Maybe you don't have to. What if there was another way, a biblical solution for meeting your healthcare costs? Well, there is, and I'll talk about that first today. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. So what exactly am I talking about? Well, it's medical cost sharing, an alternative to insurance that can save you hundreds of dollars every month. You might say it's based on the principle found in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In fact, that verse is the scriptural foundation for Christian Healthcare Ministries, an underwriter of this program, and the oldest organization in the medical cost sharing space. They've been helping believers share the financial burden of healthcare since 1981 and have made it possible for members to share nearly $11 billion in medical costs. So how is this approach different from health insurance? Well, for starters, instead of paying premiums, members contribute a monthly share amount based on the plan they choose. That turns out to be a lot less expensive because CHM members are considered self-pay by their healthcare providers. That means the cost of those services is a lot less than if they were covered by insurance. Members are then reimbursed from the share pool for covered costs. For instance, while health insurance premiums in the Affordable Care Act marketplace may be comparable due to premium tax credits, the out-of-pocket costs are often significantly higher than those with CHM due to extremely high deductibles and out-of-pocket maximums. However, with CHM, the highest annual personal responsibility cost is $6,000 per person under their bronze plan, giving you a potentially lower cost alternative that won't break your monthly budget. Health insurance companies operate with a business model that prioritizes financial sustainability, often including shareholder obligations. In contrast, a nonprofit medical sharing organization focuses solely on its members. Without the need to allocate funds for shareholder dividends, these organizations can direct more resources toward member needs, helping to keep costs low and making healthcare more accessible. Now, one of the ways insurers try to keep costs down is by making agreements with healthcare providers. Those agreements result in so-called coverage networks that then limit your choices. If you receive medical services outside the network, the insurance company could decline to pay. So you're on your own if your favorite doctor or facility is outside the network. But that's never a problem with medical cost sharing. There are no networks. Members can see any medical provider they wish, in any facility they wish. As long as the service is covered in the plan, and most are, they'll be reimbursed for the cost. Medical cost sharing is also portable. Members don't have to be stuck in a job they don't like just to get health insurance. Their CHM membership goes with them if they get a new job. The same is true if they want to start their own business. They don't lose coverage by leaving their job. Another major difference between Christian Healthcare Ministries and a health insurance company is that you join an entire community of fellow believers united by their faith in Christ. Members pray for each other. Often, CHM's customer support reps pray with members who call in with medical problems. Those words of encouragement and compassion are priceless benefits. Now, I don't want to sound mean-spirited about health insurance companies. They can be a real blessing, especially for catastrophic illnesses. But they also have become huge bureaucracies that are bogged down even further by government regulation, and that's unfortunate. Medical cost sharing avoids most of those problems because it's not insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries has much lower overhead than a typical insurance company, which keeps costs to members low. Members also have more control over their healthcare decisions. With no insurance company in the middle, they can work directly with medical providers to set up treatment plans and payments. When an organization is committed to biblical stewardship, generosity, and sharing the love of Christ in practical ways, It's really worth checking out. CHM offers a biblical solution to healthcare costs. By the way, if you signed up for health insurance in 2025, but now want to try medical cost sharing instead, you can probably still cancel that insurance without penalty. To find out a lot more, just head to chministries.org. That's chministries.org. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Traditionally, during Advent, the second week is about peace. In the Bible, that's a word with deep significance, the promise of restoration for what sin has destroyed. And at Christmas, this promised peace comes in the person of Jesus. It was the message of the angels to the shepherds proclaiming, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." What a sight it was to behold, and what a message to hear, that in Jesus, the Son of God, there is peace. Whether for kings in the highest of places or shepherds in the lowliest, it's good news for all who believe. You'll see Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that His top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything He won't, and then He does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance right here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, the rest of the program is yours. Let's talk about what's on your mind today in your financial life. We want to help you steward that wisely, and any topic is in play today. We can help you get out of debt, think about your spending plan, especially as we head toward the start of the year. A lot of folks, as we kind of hit the reset button and turn the page, turn the calendar, if you will, to 2025, what a great time to start putting a budget in place, but more than that, actually implementing a system to track God's money as you spend and give and save and make sure that you're aligned with what's truly important to you. There's no better way to do that than to make sure you know where your money is going, and that's where a budget and a spending plan comes in. We'd love to help with that with the FaithFi app. That's why we built it, and we've got a new version coming out right at the start of the year. It's going to be better than ever, and we can't wait for you to get your hands on it.
it. You can go ahead and download it today and get ready at faithfi.com. Just click app. That's faithfi.com. Click app. You can also find it in your app store. Just search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. If you want to talk about your spending plan today, give us a call. Investing-related topics. Maybe it's your year-end giving and how you can do that effectively, whether you're giving out of cash or perhaps you have an opportunity to give off of your balance sheet. Maybe you have appreciated stock like so many do with the market as strong as it's been this year, and you're looking to do even more giving than you thought possible by giving an appreciated asset like a stock or a mutual fund, getting a tax advantage to that, and getting more into God's kingdom through your generosity. Well, any of those topics and more, when you call 800-525-7000, Sandy's standing by to take your calls. We'll get you on the air quickly. Again, that number, call right now, 800-525-7000. We're going to dive in today in just a moment, but first, in the news, Christmas shopping sales are expected to reach record highs this year, but unfortunately for retailers, returns are expected to increase as well. The National Retail Federation and the return management company Happy Returns have a new report out projecting that returns will be 17% of Christmas sales this year. That's up from 15% in 2023. The 17% return rate translates into $890 billion worth of items sent back to retailers. Other key findings in the report include 76% of consumers consider free returns a key factor in deciding where to shop, especially if you're shopping online. More than two-thirds of retailers surveyed said they'll likely upgrade their returns capabilities within the next 6 months. And a huge majority, 93% of retailers said retail fraud and other exploitive behavior is a significant issue for their business. Obviously, return shipping and restocking it is costly. So in 2023, 4 out of 5 retailers tightened up their return policies to reduce those costs. And this year, another tactic retailers like Amazon and Target are using is simply refunding payments and telling customers to keep the items. Which is always interesting. I don't know if you've had that happen to you, but you go to return something and they say, "Yeah, just keep it." And basically, they have figured out that the shipping back to them, if they offered free returns, plus the restocking and handling fees, just don't make sense in some cases. Now, you never know which items they're going to do that on, so don't go buying things just hoping that they'll let you keep it if you ask to return it, but know that is a strategy they're using. Others are offering what might be used items at reduced prices to recoup some of the return costs. You can find those on Amazon in particular, where when you're looking at something, you have the choice in some cases to buy new or to opt for a gently used or perhaps even in the original packaging, like new items that have just been purchased and then returned by somebody, and they're willing to give you a discount if you'll take it off their hands. So just some thoughts about Christmas shopping this year. Fascinating to watch more and more of that business move from in-person brick-and-mortar purchases to online and all the implications of that. All right, let's take some phone calls today. Again, lines are open. We've got room for you. Any financial questions today, call right now, 800-525-7000. Let's go out to Hawaii to begin today. Lonnie, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi, good morning. Thank you, Rob, for having me.
Absolutely.
So my question, I had received a 401k kind of cash out from I was on a contract with Eanes. It was during that pandemic kind of federal funding.
Yeah.
And it was only about a year contract. And during that time, I was receiving, I guess, contributions to a 401k. I didn't realize until after that contract ended. And then I got a letter from the Union Bank and Trust that I had some money.
Interesting.
In the 401k. So it's not much. It was only $680. But I guess because I didn't let them know what I was going to do with the money, in a certain amount of time, they ended up just cashing me out. So they already took out the taxes, the penalty fee, all that. So I only have about $512 now in a check. And I just need some wisdom on what to do with that money, what I should do. My husband says, it's not that much, just cash it out, pay off some debt. Or if I should maybe open a Roth IRA I'm just not sure what to do with it.
Yeah. And so just to be clear here, Lonnie, they're sending you a check or already have for the difference between what was in the 401k and what they withheld for taxes?
Yes. I already received a check last week.
Okay. Got it. So one option would be to see if you can avoid this becoming a taxable distribution. You could check with, someone to see if perhaps you could convert it to a rollover. Are you in touch with the plan administrator? Do you have a contact information there?
I do. Yes. I can contact the a representative at the UBT.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because what you could do is if you don't need the money and don't want to use it, I'd love for you just to keep that money growing and perhaps you roll that to a traditional IRA. That would not be a taxable event. Then you could add more to it over time. And so it would basically be the beginning of a traditional IRA that you could use. The other option is you just go ahead and pay the tax on it like you were, and there will be that small penalty. So, you know, we're talking $680, so $68, you know, going to the IRS as a penalty, and then put that into a Roth IRA, which, to your point, could then, you know, grow tax-free, and you could keep adding to that as well. But I like the idea. I mean, unless you guys just don't have an emergency fund right now, and this could be the start of that, or you're paying high-interest credit card debt that you're carrying a balance on, you know, those would be no-brainers just to put this money toward that. But if you've got some emergency savings in place and you've got a balanced budget with some surplus every month and you're not, you know, paying high-interest credit card debt and any credit cards are being paid off at the end of the month, then I think getting this money into a retirement plan, either by seeing if they can kind of unwind the distribution and allow that to be a rollover to a traditional, or just going ahead and paying the tax and then putting that into a Roth and then continuing to contribute to it, which would probably be my preference if you're going to make new contributions moving forward, that you take advantage of that Roth. Those would be two great options.
Okay. Can I still...
Hello? Say again. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I still do that? Even though they've already sent me a check, like they've already kind of closed the account, or
Because you have 60 days to get it back in there, and then they could initiate it again as a rollover. So you can put money back into a retirement plan that you take out for up to 60 days. So if this was just done and they're willing to do it, you may be able to do that. Hang on the line. We'll finish up off the air. We'll be right back.
As our nation faces a host of unprecedented challenges, it's important that we use the Lord's provisions to support conservative judicial nominees, advance biblical principles, and help faithful Americans contend for truth in the public arena. AFA Action is working at the federal, state, and even school board levels to promote critical policies to protect your family. But in order to accomplish our mission, we need help from faithful partners like you to reach our year-end budget goal. So please visit afaaction.net to give today. afaaction.net.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to AFAFoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. And early December, Christmas, it feels like just around the corner. And we want to finish the year strong. Amazing what's happening in the stock market. Speaking of the stock market, Bob Dahl will stop by in our final segment today and update us what's going on in the markets. Bob is our resident market guy, and he joins us each Monday at the final segment of our broadcast with his market commentary. We'll look forward to hearing what Bob's watching as we barrel toward year end and watch the market continue to perform at record highs. Bob Dahl just around the corner. But in the meantime, taking your calls and questions, I've got room for you. If you have a question today, something in your financial life, we can get you on the air quickly. Just call 800-525-7000. Again, that number is 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by, and whatever's going on in your financial life today, whether it's a 401k or your budget, maybe it's trying to pay down debt, give more effectively, whatever it is, we'd love to tackle it with you, help you think about it in light of biblical wisdom. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. We'll be headed back to the phones here in just a moment. But first, you know, as we're in this giving season, we want to be able to give generously because, you know, if you think about it, it's really an opportunity for us to take a portion of what God has entrusted to us, and that is an overflow of our gratitude to God for all that He has done on our behalf. Remember, we have an abundance before even the first dollar because of who we are in Christ and because of what He's done to reconcile us through to the Father through the shed blood of Jesus. And so we have an opportunity as we manage God's money to take a portion of it and give it back and participate in God's activity. But I've found over the years there are some barriers to giving at a maximum level. You'll never be able to give to your full potential unless you address these things. Number one is your vision. You will never outgive your vision for the opportunity to participate in God's work. And so I think you need to connect your giving to the heart of God and the passions that you have and find that alignment so that you develop a compelling vision around where you're giving and why. And I think when you do that and really marry up these ideas, you will begin to look for ways to give even more. Second is spiritual. You know, we've got to address the root spiritual issues in our life that are going to hold us back from doing and being all that God has for us. And I think that includes our generosity. And so perhaps there's something in your life spiritually that's holding you back in terms of your view of God or yourself, your identity in Christ, whether or not you're finding your significance or value in the things of this world. We've got to address those. Money issues are really symptomatic of spiritual issues. The third is financial. Clearly, we're never going to be able to give to a maximum potential unless we address those financial issues that are a stumbling block in our lives. Do we need to dump debt and really get to a place where we're not spending a lot of money on just making payments and paying interest every month? Is it that we're living beyond our means or we're living right up to the edge so there's no margin and therefore the giving gets squeezed out? What do you need to do as we head into 2025 to right-size your own financial life to create more capacity to fund those long-term goals? And one of those goals may be, you know what, I'm giving, you know, 10% or I'm given 2% systematically, but I want to do so much more. Well, you addressing the things that are causing you to not have any margin to accelerate that giving and generosity is really essential. So it's your vision. I think it's spiritual barriers. I think it's financial barriers. I think it's also barriers related to not having a plan for your giving. You will never give to a maximum potential without a plan to do it. Now, we can give spontaneously, and I think there's a place for that. You hear about a need or there's an opportunity presented at church or some other place, and you respond. You go to a fundraising dinner, and you hear a compelling vision about a ministry, or you hear us here on the radio talk about what's happening at AFR and AFA, or you hear about us talking about FaithFi, and you say, you know what, I want to be a part of that, and you make a spontaneous decision. That's great. But your maximum giving is going to happen with a plan, because often it's going to move beyond cash giving and it's going to go into asset-based giving. And so that's why we talk a lot about the work that the team at the American Family Association Foundation does. Chelsea and Riley and Jessica, and what they do is come alongside givers to say, yeah, let's talk about the plan to maximize your giving. Maybe it's going to involve a charitable gift annuity. Maybe it's going to be involve a gift of an asset like a stock or mutual fund. Maybe a piece of real estate. Maybe it's a qualified charitable distribution out of your IRA. That just doesn't happen spontaneously. It takes a plan. But if you take the time to do it, you'll be able to give far more than you ever considered. And so it's vision, it's financial, it's spiritual, it's plan related. And then I think the fifth barrier is relational. And here's what I mean by that. If you're going to give to your full potential, you need to be in community with others that are generous, that with others that celebrate generosity, that are going to push you and you push them to give even more and to find giving outlets and you know, to encourage one another in the gift and the grace of giving. It's so important to be around people who are like-minded with regard to giving and generosity, that are living that generous life. Generous in all of the its fullest meaning, not only just financially, but in all the other areas. Generous with your time and generous with your talents, generous with your influence. So think about the people in your life, and do you need to find a community of generous givers that could encourage you to lean into that gift of giving that perhaps you've identified the Lord has given you, but you've never really see it bear out in its full potential. I hope that's an encouragement to you, especially this time of year. We should have giving at the forefront of our minds because we're celebrating the gift of Jesus. His birth was the ultimate gift to us, where he became 100% man alongside the fact that he was 100% God. And we know ultimately his birth resulted in that sinless life and then his death so that we could have the gift of salvation and be reconciled to the Father. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. All right, a quick break and then back with some calls. We're going to Tennessee to talk to Alan and Louisiana to talk to Janice right around the corner. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what can it hurt? What can it hurt? What can it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Coming up in our final segment today, Bob Dahl stops by. Bob will share an update on the markets with his weekly market commentary. Non-farm payrolls in last week. We'll talk about what we learned in the employment rate. Also, the manufacturing index gives us a good sense of how the economy's doing. We'll talk about that. What about inflation? Is it continuing to come down, or has it ticked back up? That and more with Bob Dahl today, just around the corner. He'll update us on where we find our economy. But let's head back to the phones. In the meantime, get to as many calls as we can. Let's go to Tennessee. Alan, you'll be next up, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Great. Go right ahead.
We have a mortgage at 5.92. We've only been in the home since June of last year, making payments on the principal every month, $200 a month since then. And the question is, when would be a good time to consider refinancing it to get a lower rate when the rates fall? And then the second question is, will we lose any equity that we put in the home already, the down payment and so forth?
Yeah, great question, Alan. You really need to be able to save a point and half, really, is what my target would be. So for you guys, you'd be looking, you know, at a rate of about 4.5%. Percent okay. Before you would want to refinance. And the challenge is right now, you know, we're still at 6.8. So, you know, you're a solid, you know, point lower than where 30-year rates are right now. And so, you know, I'd stick with what you got. You definitely don't want to refinance. And that leads to the second point around, will you lose any equity? The only reason you would lose equity is if you roll the costs of the refinance into the mortgage, which would increase the mortgage balance and slightly decrease your equity. Now, you could always opt when that time comes, and let's say, you know, a couple of years from now, perhaps, maybe it's sooner, but let's say it's 2 years from now, we find ourselves with rates around 4.5, and you say, well, I want to go ahead and take advantage of this. You know, at that point, you could decide just to pay for those refinance expenses out of cash and not add it to the mortgage. What's the balance on your mortgage, roughly?
$307,000.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you could easily have expenses of 3%. I mean, that could run you $9,000, you know, just to refinance. It could be 4%, which would be about $12,000. So it's not insignificant. Now, even if you did roll it into the loan, it would still make a sense to do it if you could save at least a point and a half, you know, better yet 2%, because over the life of that loan, you know, you would make plenty more than that. I think the key is to try to not extend the term either. How old is this mortgage?
A year and a half.
Okay, and is it 30 years?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what you may want to do is, you know, look at an odd term, you know, so could you get a 27-year or a 25-year? Now, that would make your payment go up a little bit, but what you want to try to avoid is, let's say 2 years from now, you're 3 years into that mortgage, you don't want to start over with a new 30-year mortgage, because in the very early days of a mortgage, almost everything's going to interest. And by starting over that 30-year clock, you're going to get back into that same situation. So you want to come down a point and a half at a minimum, and you want to, you know, at least lock in the same length or shorter, if anything.
Thank you, sir. We'll be able to pay, I think, the mortgage expense to refinance.
Good.
We have that cash set aside, so we're fine.
Excellent.
On that.
All right. Good work, Alan. We'll keep it up and keep paying on that principal a little extra than the payment. That's always a good thing. And we can help you with anything else in the future. Let us know. To Indiana. Indiana. Hi, Sandy. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
My husband and I recently retired, and we are having a healthy discussion about what amount should we tithe now and off of what, since we really don't have an income coming in. We're taking our investments and our pension, which we've saved from our income before.
Right.
And so we are trying to figure out what that looks like. He thinks we're double paying, and I think we should continue to give what we have. So we're on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, well, it's a great conversation to have. And listen, it all springs from a generous heart, and you all are wanting to honor the Lord with what he's entrusted to you. And yet, you're right. If you're giving a tithe, which is a tenth on the increase, then if you've been giving on the gross throughout your working years, in a sense, you've already tithed on a portion, and that's a key, a portion of what is coming out to you, whether it's Social Security or a pension. You know, a portion of what you're taking out is your original contributions. In the case of Social Security, you paid half of the FICA taxes, your employer paid the other half, and then there's some sort of growth component to that. Some of that is, you know, money you tithed on. In other cases, it's money you haven't tithed on. With a pension, the same is true. It's a return of a portion of what you've paid in, but there's a compounded, you know, growth factor in there as well. So, you know, given that, you know, the tithe, I think, should be the training wheels of giving, the beginning point and not the ending point, I think, you know, one approach is just to say, listen, everything we receive is a gracious gift from God. We can't outgive God. And so we're just going to continue giving systematically on the full amount, recognizing that we are going beyond the tithe because we're essentially tithing off of, let's call it a half of it, just in round numbers. Let's say a half of it is what's being returned to you that you've already paid in. The other half is some sort of growth component or the portion your employer paid. And I think at that point, you know, you're giving beyond the tithe, which is never a bad idea. The other approach is to say, no, we're going to apply some factor here with regard to the tithe portion of our giving. And maybe it is that 50-50 where you'd say, we're just going to give an automatic systematic gift on half of everything we receive, because that's just kind of a round number way of saying we just want to acknowledge there's our portion and then there's the growth portion, which is yet to be tithed on. And then treat any additional giving beyond the tithe of offerings or sacrificial giving, you know, just based on a prayerful decision, either annually or periodically as opportunities present themselves. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think it's more fear for him because we both retired early. And so we're just still trying to figure out how all that works and paying for private insurance and all that. So I think that it's just an unknown right now. So, but we're figuring it out, and I appreciate that. That's really good advice.
Well, I think just coming together and praying through that and just saying, listen, Lord, we want to trust you in this. We also, you know, we know that this is early in this whole retirement season. And, you know, we're trying to figure it out as we go. And so I think, you know, there's an element of we're just, you know, there's a portion that we're just going to do systematically and we're going to commit to it. And there's a portion where maybe, you know, we're going to have to trust the Lord because it's a little bit of a faith gift as well. And wrestling through the tension of that is always a good thing as long as you do that together and as long as you make prayer at the center of that. But ultimately, that's between you and the Lord. There's not a right or wrong decision here. I think you just guys need to work that out as you go and watch the Lord respond. But I appreciate you asking the question, Sandy. It's a good one. And hopefully this has been helpful to some others as well. May the Lord bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Bob Dahl will be here. We'll also head to Ohio and talk to Brian. You have a question, room for a few more, 800-525-7000.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, you know, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up. And we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch. And if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Whenever I want to know how to navigate the markets, Bob Dahl is my go-to guy. Bob is on the board of directors here at Kingdom Advisors. He's CEO and CIO at Crossmark Global Investments, and he's a Wall Street veteran. Bob, a lot to cover today. I want to talk about the markets and where we might be headed as we turn the page to 2025. But first, a lot of economic data out last week. Why don't you summarize what we learned about the U.S. economy? Bob, are you with us? All right. It looks like we lost Bob temporarily. We will get him back on the line. Let's go to the phones in the meantime. And Brian, you've been waiting patiently. Go right ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering, I got a return of premium insurance policy that is my return of premium is, after 20 years, I get supposed to get all my premiums that I paid in,
yep.
And which will amount to close to $32,000 after 20 years. And I was just kind of wondering, I got other loans and stuff that I got mortgages and some other loans that I need to get paid off too. And I was just wondering, what's my best option? I'm only 2 years into this return of premium policy. Would I be better off to drop that and get a different health insurance versus that? Or I just wondered what your opinion is on that.
Yeah, let me just make sure we're clear here. Is this life insurance?
No, it is health insurance, like basic accidental insurance, like for accident. Basically, it's only for accident insurance.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So it's a rider, or it's for accidental death or injuries. Is that basically what it is?
Yeah, it's just for basically injuries, only like accidental stuff that, you know, emergency stuff is basically if I break my arm or my leg and go to the hospital, they pay, you know, they only pay X amount. They only pay X amount per injury. You know, they have a set amount they pay. So it's not really a really good coverage. The biggest thing, it's like a savings account, but I don't like, I can only access it 20 years down the road. And I have other places for that money right now. So,
yeah, well, I think that's the answer there. I mean, ultimately you need to decide you're offsetting a risk that could happen. And so, you know, I can't necessarily tell you to drop that because, I mean, you may need to collect on that tomorrow. And, you know, we would want that money to be there. At the same time, I think whenever we're looking at our financial lives, we've got to determine, okay, first things first, we need to have an emergency fund in place. We need to not be paying high interest debt. We need to make sure we have proper insurance. And I would start with property and casualty, making sure you have the right homeowners and automobile insurance, making sure you have the proper amount of life insurance that's going to, you know, cover the risk that your income would go away and you'd have a dependent child or a spouse that, you know, would have a financial hardship as a result of that. I mean, the kind of insurance you're talking about is really, you know, nice to have, but not one of the must-haves. And I think to your point, if there's other things that you really need to solve for at this point in your life, given the fact that you're still early in this policy and you're not going to get that premium back for 20 years, I wouldn't keep this as a savings vehicle. I would only keep it if you have the financial means to do it and you feel like this is offsetting a legitimate risk that exists that, you know, could harm you financially if you found yourself in a position where you were injured on the job or otherwise. But I wouldn't do it just purely because it has a return of premium coming 20 years from now. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yep. I think that should answer my question. So,
all right. Very good, Brian. Thanks for your call today. Before we head to Mississippi, I think we do have Bob Dahl back with us. As I'd mentioned, Bob, I want to get to the markets here in a moment and what we might be expecting in the new year. But first, I know there was a ton of economic data out last week. So just summarize where we find ourselves with the U.S. economy.
Yeah, the economy, Rob, is okay, maybe okay plus. It's not brilliant, but it's not sinking either. You know, you get a decent number on non-farm payrolls, but then you look inside and you find it, well, it's all about the public sector, government, healthcare, and education, which has been the case all year long. So it's that kind of thing on one side of my mouth, out of the other side of my mouth. That's where we are. Confusing period.
It really is, especially given what the markets are doing, which would indicate that everything is on the positive side when, as you said, there are a few concerns out there, right?
Yeah, it's the expectation is that the new administration's, I'm going to exaggerate, going to solve all our problems.
Yeah.
And I think I used this once before. It's like when you're planning a vacation, you're so excited, and the anticipation is amazing. And when you get there, it's still good, but it's not quite up to what you expected. We may have the same issue with the market expecting that the Trump administration is going to solve all our problems.
Well, and then we've got just the calendar and what we know about what the market does in various points of the year. I know in this week's deliberations, you were talking about perhaps what stage might be set for January and February, which tend to be a bit weaker, right?
Correct. November, December, strongest 2 months back to back. January, February, among the weakest. And now, it doesn't happen every year, obviously, Rob, but given all this anticipation, could we get to the reality, having bought the rumor, does the market decide to sell the news? So my guess is we'll get some sort of pullback. It may be more significant than we've seen in a while.
Yeah, let's talk about that more significant. I mean, you know, if we see some softening in the market, and boy, we've done so much, so well that I could see a lot of investors wanting to pull money off the table, which could make a pullback more pronounced. What kind of, you know, room do you think on the downside we've got potentially?
So in your question is a good analysis. That is to say, if you're planning to take some money off the table, why not do it before the market declines? Now, I'm not saying go sell everything. Just take the edge off a bit. Amount of decline, look, we typically, historically, have gotten a 10% decline in the U.S. stock market on average every 18 months. We've not had one for 3 years. That's unusual. We normally have 3-5+% pullbacks during the course of the year. We had two of them in this calendar year. So it's not Armageddon in our view, but it's time to be just a little cautious because it's been totally the upside, and sentiment reflects that. The Conference Board did a survey recently of U.S. consumers. Never before have this many people expected the stock market to be higher 12 months from now than this current moment. That's a little bit of a caution note.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Bob, for so long, inflation has been kind of the key focal point for investors. Where do we find ourselves today?
So inflation, first of all, let's credit the Fed and the authorities. It's no longer 9%. It's rounded up 3%. The Fed has said they want to get inflation to 2%. We've said on this call many times, as you'll recall, Rob, that if absent a recession, it's very unlikely we'll get inflation down to 2%. And we're seeing some stubbornness, some stickiness in inflation. So I think the Fed's got its hands full fighting a slowly deteriorating jobs market while inflation remains sticky.
Interesting. Bob, let's finish with the bond market. Could this be a bright spot next year?
Yeah, it sure could be. Now, having said that, as you know, 10-year Treasury yields have moved down a fair amount here in the last few weeks. So some of that may be creeping in already. We may see a bond market that has a trading range of 10-year yield, call it 350, 360, up to 450, 460, something like that.
All right. Bob, always appreciate it, my friend. Have a great week.
You're the same, my friend.
That's Bob Dahl. He's CEO at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com, one of the brilliant faith-based investing asset managers out there doing incredible work. You can also sign up for his weekly investment commentary, Dahl's Deliberations, while you're there. All right, let's head back to the phones as we round out the broadcast today to Mississippi. Hi, Tammy. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. I have two daughters that financed a house together a little less than 10 years ago. Of course, the interest rate was phenomenal then. So now they have gone on their separate ways and don't live together. One of them's renting, one of them stayed in the house. Without the one that stayed in the house refinancing, is there a way to get the other one off the mortgage?
There really isn't, because that lender is not going to want to let go of a potential source to recapture, funds if one of them were to default. And so typically refinancing is the only way to actually get that other person off. And, you know, as you said, she's got a phenomenal rate, and that would no longer be the case if she refinanced it. Is she, you know, is her sister, you know, needing to get off of it as soon as possible?
Well, no, not as soon as possible. It's just anytime she tries to finance anything, of course, her debt to income ratio shows the house.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a problem.
It puts her in a bad bond.
Well, I think the next step is to reach out to the lender and just see what's possible, and see if they may be willing, just based on her, you know, good credit and so forth. But I think eventually, it's ultimately going to require a refi, which is not going to be ideal right now. It may come down to it if her sister is just really running into some problems by, you know, the debt-to-income ratio that she has and just needing to get that off. But if she could wait another 12 months, 24 would even be better. But it'd be worth a phone call to see what the lender will do. I hope that helps, Tammy. Thanks for being on the broadcast today. We appreciate your call. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Hey, as we head toward the end of December, every gift to FaithFi, which is listener-supported, don't forget that, is double because one of our generous donors. Every gift doubled between now and December 31st. Would you be a part of helping us close our gap here toward the end of the year? Just head to faithfi.com and click give. A big thanks to my team today, Sandy, Devin, and Jim, and everybody here at FaithFi. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.